Meteoric observations are conventionalities. New stars are unconventionalities. See Nature, December 21, 1876. This night, this astronomer observed meteors. There was a volcanic eruption in the Philippines, upon the 26th of November. About 2 weeks later, a red rain fell in Italy. There is considerable in this book that is in line with the teachings of the most primitive theology. We have noted how agreeable I am sometimes to the most southern Methodists. It is that scientific orthodoxy of today has brutally, or mechanically, or unintelligently, reacted sheerly against all beliefs of the preceding, or theological, orthodoxy, and has reacted too far. All reactions react too far. Then a reaction against this reaction must of course favor, or restore, some of the beliefs of the earlier orthodoxy. Often before disasters upon this earth there have been appearances that were interpretable as warnings. But if a godness places kindly lights in the sky, also is it spreading upon the minds of this earth a darkness of scientists. This is about the beneficence of issuing warnings, and also seeing to it that the warnings shall not be heeded. This may not be idiocy. It may be divine plan that surplus populations shall be murdered. In less pious terms we may call this maintenance of equilibrium. If surplusages of people upon this earth should reduce, and if then it should, in the organic sense, becomes desirable that people in disaster zones should live longer, or die more lingeringly, provided for them are phenomena of a study of warnings, a study that is now, or that has been, subject to inhibitions. August 31, 1886 Just before the sun dropped behind the horizon, it was eclipsed by a mass of inky, black clouds. People noted this appearance. It was like the dense, mountain-like cloud that appeared, at Callao, Peru, before the earthquake of September 4, 1868. But these people were in a North American city. Meteors were seen. They were like the fireballs that have shot from this earth's volcanoes. Luminous clouds, such as have been seen at times of this earth's eruptions, appeared, and people watched them. There was no thought of danger. There was a glare. More meteors. The city of Charleston, South Carolina, was smashed. People running from their houses, telegraph poles falling around them, they were meshed in coils of wires. Street lamps and lights in houses waved above, like lights of a fishing fleet that had cast out nets. It was a catch of bodies, but that was because minds had been meshed in the net of a cult, woven out of the impudence of the de Balors and the silences of the Davisons, spread to this day upon every school of this earth. The ground went on quaking. Down from the unknown came, perhaps, a volcanic discharge upon this quaking ground. Whether it were volcanic dust, or not, it is said, in the New York World, September 4, that volcanic dust was falling, at Wilmington, North Carolina. September 5th, a severe shock, at Charleston, and a few minutes later came a brilliant meteor, which left a long train of fire. At the same time, two brilliant meteors were seen, at Columbia, SC. See almost any newspaper, of the time. I happen to take from the London Times, September 7th. There was another discharge from the unknown or a strange cloud appeared, upon the 8th of September, off the coast of South Carolina. The cloud hung, heavy, in the sky, and was thought to be from burning grass on one of the islands. Charleston News and Courier, September 10 that such was the explanation, but that no grass was known to be burning. If a procession starts at Washington Square, New York City, and, if soldiers arrive in Harlem, and then keep on arriving in Harlem, I explain that, in spite of all the eccentricities of Harlem, Harlem is neither flying away from the procession, nor turning on 125th Street, for an axis. Meteors kept on coming to Charleston. They kept on arriving at this quaking part of this earth's surface, as if at a point on a stationary body. The most extraordinary display was upon the night of October 22. There was a severe quake, at Charleston, while these meteors were falling. About 50 appeared, New York Sunday November 1. About midnight, October 23 to 24, a meteor exploded over Atlanta, Georgia, casting a light so intense that small objects on the ground were visible, New York Herald, October 25. A large meteor, at Charleston, night of October 24, Monthly Weather Review, 1886 to 296. An extraordinary meteor, at Charleston, night of the 28th, is described, in the News and Courier, of the 29th, as a strange, celestial visitor. It was only coincidence. There is no conventional seismologist, and there is no orthodox astronomer, who says otherwise. In the Friend of India, June 22, 1897, is another record of some of the meteors that were seen in Charleston, that, at the time of the great quake, Professor Oswald saw meteor after meteor shoot from an apparent radiant near Leo. Carl McKinley, in his descriptive narrative of the earthquake of August 31, 1886, records a report from Cape Romaine Light Station, upon an unusual fall of meteors during the night. Again a volcanic discharge came to this point or a fall of ashes was reported. In the News and Courier, November 20, it is said that, about 10 days before, ashes had fallen from the sky, at Somerville, SC. It is said that the material was undoubtedly ashes. Then it is said that it had been discovered that, upon the day of this occurrence, there had been an extensive forest fire near Somerville. Monthly Weather Review, October and November, 1886. Under forest and prairie fires, there is no mention of a forest fire, either small or extensive, in either North or South Carolina. Somerville, and not Charleston, was the center of the disturbances. Ashes came from somewhere exactly to this central point. In a study of recent earthquakes, Dr. Charles Davison gives 36 pages to an account of phenomena at Charleston. He studies neither meteors nor anything else that was seen in the sky. He studiously avoids all other occurrences upon this earth, at this time. Refines such a study to a finality of omissions, and the vacancy of the imbecile is the ideal of the student. I approve this, as harmless. The other occurrences were enormous. Destruction in South Carolina was small compared with the catastrophe in Greece. Upon the day of the first slight shock, at Charleston, August 27, there was a violent quake in Greece, and at the same time, torrents poured from the sky, in Turkey, carrying away houses and cattle and bridges, Levant Herald, September 8. Thousands of houses collapsed, and hundreds of persons perished. This day, there was a shock, at Srinagar, Kashmir, shocks in Italy and Malta, and increased activity of Vesuvius. Just such an inky cloud as was seen at Charleston, was seen in the eastern Mediterranean, at the time of the catastrophe in Greece reported by the captain of the steamship La Valette Malta Standard, September 2, a mass of thick, black smoke, changing into a reddish color. The sea was perfectly calm, at the time. In the sky of Greece, there was a glare, like the light of a volcanic eruption, Comptes Rendus, 103. 565. I confess to a childish liking for making little designs, or arrangements of data, myself. And every formal design depends upon blanks, as much as upon occupied spaces. But my objection to such a pattern maker as Dr. Davison is to the preponderance of what he leaves out. In Dr. Davison's 36 pages upon the lesser catastrophe, at Charleston, he spins thin lines of argument, in a pretty pattern of agreements, around omissions. It is his convention that all earthquakes are of local, subterranean origin, so he leaves out all appearances in the sky, and mentions none of the other violences that disturbed a zone around this earth. It is a monstrous disproportion, when a mind that should be designing embroidery takes catastrophes for the lines and blanks of its compositions. It is my expression that if a clipper of data should mislay his scissors, or should accidentally let in an account of one of the many localized repetitions of meteors, he would tell of an indication that this earth is, or is almost, stationary. Night of October 20th, meteors falling at Srinagar, Kashmir. there was an earthquake. Shocks and falls of meteors continued together. According to my searches in Indian newspapers, these repeating meteors were seen nowhere else. As to zone phenomena, I point out that there is a difference of only 1 degree of latitude between Charleston and Srinagar. For the data, see the Times of India, November 5. If a string of meteors should be flying toward this earth, and if the first of them should fall to this earth, at Srinagar, how is anybody going to think of the rest of them falling exactly here, if this earth is speeding away from them? Sometimes I am almost inclined to have a little faith, of course not in general reasoning, but anyway in my own reasoning, and I go on to observe that a long string of meteors can be thought of as coming down to the one point where the first fell, if that point is not moving away from them. But I begin to suspect that the trouble with me is that I am simple-minded, and that mine enemies, whom I call conventionalists, are more subtle than I am, and prefer their views, because mine are so obvious. Of course this earth is stationary, in a surrounding of revolving stars so far away that an expedition could sail to them. But no dialectician, of any fastidiousness, would be attracted by a subject so easy to maintain. Back to data, geysers spouted from the ground at Charleston, and there were sulfurous emissions. The ground was incipiently volcanic and charged electrically. Meteors and smoky discharges and glares and falls of ashes and enormous pours of water, as if from a volcano that was moving around a zone of this earth.